Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
But I do school security assessments quite often, and I advocate always for an armed security guard at every school, especially the elementary schools where the little ones can't run, hide, fight. You can't do that with the little ones. They don't have the acumen and the wherewithal to do that.
So that's former assistant director of the FBI. His suggestion, an armed guard at every school. Here's Texas Attorney General with another suggestion.
We need to continue to try to focus on preventing this. We can't stop bad people from doing bad things. They're going to violate murder laws. They're not going to follow gun laws. I've never understood that argument. But we can harden these schools. We can create points of access that are difficult to get through. We can potentially arm and prepare and train teachers and other administrators to respond quickly, because the reality is we don't have the resources to have law enforcement at every school.
So train and arm teachers, his suggestion. I realize the main topic of conversation is guns, what guns should be allowed, who should be allowed to have them, that whole thing. But there's two different angles for you. And speaking of the guns, there, by the way, as of now, 19 kids have died, which is freaking unbelievable.
So, and honestly, you know, and of all people, Dr. Laura once pointed this out. It's not that 19 people died. One child died. 19 different ones of them. I mean, if it's two, it's a horror. It's an unspeakable horror. 19 is just that many more families feeling that horror.
I don't know how to handle this angle of it, because maybe I'm different than other people on this, or not. I don't know. I'm completely horrified by this. So I just feel like for my mental health and sanity, learning about each individual kid is just like punishing me. I mean, I don't know what.
Right.
It doesn't do them or their family any good. I feel like it just makes me sadder. And I am completely horrified enough to seriously discuss any topic you want to discuss.
Sure.
So I don't.
Yeah, maybe I'm putting it wrong or you're misinterpreting. I am very uncomfortable with ranking these things
dwelling on
numbers.
Yeah, you're absolutely the 100% right about that.
Sick. And by the way, it's probably worth mentioning that the still so bizarre and unthinkable. Las Vegas shooter who killed all those people at the country concert. As far as anybody can tell, he was a psychopath and an egomaniac who thought, I can kill more people than that. So he was caught up in the whole competition thing. So anyway, I'm just uncomfortable with that. That's all I was expressing.
I got more on the media aspect of that. I'm glad you reminded me, because that definitely plays a role in all these things. You're right, though. The whole ranking this thing and the numbers thing, that's a weird aspect of it, because I have a fourth grader. And if, God forbid, he was the only one shot and killed at school today before they tackled the gunman, it is in no way at all, not even a tiniest percent, less tragic than if it had been 15 at the same time.
Right. See, that's my point. If 16, God forbid, I can't even make these words come out of my mouth. If 16 children should die next week, that one's not as bad. No. We've got to stop looking at it like that.
You're right.
We've got to look at causes and preventatives right down the line, every single layer of it. Not become obsessed with one or the other, because there are many factors and many strategies.
There's no doubt about that, but and if you, this information is out there, if you want it and you feel like it does you some good, but one of my favorite news outlets had the picture of one of these cute little fourth graders. I have a fourth grader, and I see his friends every day at the park. I'm fully aware of what fourth graders are. They have a picture of this cute little fourth grader and what he was doing like the hour before he died and everything. And if that helps you in some way, I don't need like just more pain to get what I need to get out of this story to try to talk about it and come up with solutions. So the gunman's grandfather, and we've heard about the grandfather. The grandmother was shot. She is alive. It was reported yesterday, at least when I was listening, that she was dead, but she is alive. The grandfather, and you hear about about his mom. There's been no mention of a dad, so that's its own story. Rolando Reyes, 72, the gunman's grandfather, told ABC News he had no idea his grandson had purchased two AR-15-style rifles that were in his home. The grandfather is a felon, and it's illegal for him to be in a house with firearms, and he said he would have immediately turned his grandson in if he was aware of the guns. He said there were no signs the morning of the shooting, nothing was unusual, the kid had had an argument with grandma, blah, blah, blah. I hate to even get into this stuff, because I'm not exactly sure what the point of it is. But he did buy the guns, he turned 18 like 6 days ago and bought the guns 2 days ago. So, legally, from what it seems at this point. And then go whatever direction you want to go with that in terms of whether or not you think he ought to be able to buy that particular gun. Or having expressed a variety of emotional problems, all that stuff is still not completely nailed down because we're not even 24 hours into this, but was he the sort of person that should have been able to buy a gun like that? I don't know. Maybe you're in the crowd who don't think anybody should be able to buy a gun like that.
Yeah, I would say if the media can't even nail down whether grandma's alive or not anymore, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, including, you know, quoting a bunch of friends who said he was bullied terribly. He had a couple of different speech impediments. He turned darker and darker.
Yeah. All that stuff is so tough. What percentage of people are bullied at some point through their schooling? I got to believe it's the majority. Bullied terribly? I don't know how you define that.
But see, that's my entire point in this, though. There's got to be a matrix of causes and contributors that we can look at in a sane way to understand how people come to this point. Some of them might be good, kind, gentle people who are driven to murderous rage by bullying. Some might be, in the case of like the lead cowardly murderer in Columbine, a psychopath. Nobody needed to bully him. Nobody did bully him. Everybody was afraid of him. He was a psychopath. But you've got to understand there are different ways to get to the same terrible result.
Yeah.
And you've got to be honest about it. You've got to be humble about that and say there isn't one single trigger or cause. Because it's the province of stupid people yelling at each other on Twitter. And I'll not be a part of it. But anyway.
So, yeah, and the role of dads, which we brought up several times today.
Absolutely.
It seems like a lot of these kids don't have a dad's active in the family. You don't know what role that plays, because my kids have dealt with, you know, problems at school, whether you want to call it bullying or whatever, and they're more likely to hear from dad, you know, this sort of thing is going to happen in your life. We have to figure out how to deal with it, as opposed to, oh my God, that's horrible, let me give you a hug, which you might get more often from mom without any of the life is hard, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with it. Who knows if maybe just that little bit of knowledge for a kid of, oh, really, this happens to everybody, and I'm going to have to learn to deal with it? Who knows what effect that has on you long term? And if that is eliminated, I'm not saying all dads do that or all moms don't, but
right, sure, of course.
In general, I think that there tends to be more of that. Who knows what effect that has on people? As opposed to, you're convinced by hearing, oh my God, that's so horrible, let me hug you, that this is a tragedy and you're unique and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and there are plenty of moms who will take action.
Sure.
And some dads who won't. But I'm reminded of a couple of things, incidents from my youth. And, you know, that's also complicated. There was a brother and sister at our schools in middle school and high school, and it pains me seriously. It pains me physically to even think about them. Developmental problems, home problems, etc. And they were picked on at school by more people than I even want to think about. And at one point, one of our gym teachers, Nick Garbarino, former United States Marine, he gathered up a bunch of us who I guess you could consider kind of leader-ish people in school. And he, you talk about reading the Riot Act. He read the Riot Act. He came at us like Moses with the Ten Commandments, talking about cruelty and picking on the weak and how disgusting it was, and how if he ever saw any of us doing that, we would lose his respect until our dying day. People had tears coming down their face. He didn't threaten anybody. He didn't, you know, push anybody. He brought moral fury to the situation, and he changed hearts, man. I wish I'd gotten reached out to him later in life, because for all I know, he's passed. Maybe he hasn't. And I think we lack that.
No, that doesn't happen in schools anymore. The bullier and the bullied are supposed to be seen as equals and treated exactly the same way.
Right. And I'm not sure how to quantify that or describe it or to what extent dads in the household have anything to do with that, but I feel like we're missing it.
Did that play a role in the shooting yesterday? I have no idea whatsoever. I'm not claiming it did. We don't know enough yet, and we may never know. Because I don't want to get into the whole, let's pass this gun law, that would have had nothing to do with yesterday either.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all interesting topics. Well, I'll take a break when we come back. This is a story, the version I've got it from it is NPR, if that gives it any credibility to those of you who are more on the, it's all about the gun side of this argument, on how this sort of violence is a contagion in culture. And the role the media plays in it, and they've got documentation to back up. It's been studied. It is known.
And then next half hour, there are a handful of international stories that were it not for the horrors in Uvalde, Texas, everybody would be talking about. So I want to drop those in and just put them on your radar screen.
Awesome. All on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
My cry in the early hours of this, and we're still in the early hours, is this. Don't assign the worst motives to people that have a different point of view on this. There are people with the worst motives, but most people are not. They're just really upset about something freaking awful that happened. So the person that wants hardcore gun laws is not just trying to come up with an excuse to take away your right to own a gun. They don't want little kids to die. And the person that believes in the Second Amendment doesn't want little kids to die. They just don't want to change the Constitution after an emotional tragedy. Neither side is doing something awful necessarily. So don't.
And it's
going
to take everybody coming to the table. I mean, that's just so obvious. Everybody, bipartisan, searching for solutions at every stage, solutions to every aspect of the problem.
So this 18-year-old has only been 18 for 9 days. Turned 18 on May 16th. Purchased the two rifles a couple days later. So within a 8-day period, turned 18, bought the guns, and killed a whole bunch of little kids. Just about as awful as it can get. So here's an angle of the story we haven't talked as much about. We have talked about in the future. We've been doing this for a long time, this radio show, and unfortunately we've had these conversations a long time, and it probably was after, I'm guessing it was after Parkland, that we had a bunch of mental health people in. And I'll remember it always because we had them all in the studio, and they all agreed that the media coverage was making these things worse.
Mm-hmm.
They all agreed. Not one of them dissented.
There was not even a caveat. They all enthusiastically agreed.
So keeping that in mind, I came across this. This was from NPR. Not that necessarily matters, but, you know, they're always quick to go to the gun angle. Mass shootings can be contagious, research shows. Now, this is from a few years ago, but I'm sure it's all still true. What the researchers found was that mass shootings, high-profile mass killings where there's at least four people killed, that's what they studied, there was a significant evidence of contagion. Same with school shootings. In other words, school shootings and other shootings with four or more deaths spread like a contagion. Each shooting tends to spark more shootings. So one happens and you see another few right after that. They found, and it's been consistent enough, they've done enough research to believe it's true. Now, here's somebody else with a completely different research paper, but getting into some of the same stuff. What set apart shootings that were contagious, because not all shootings are contagious, was the amount of media coverage they received. In the instances where there were four or more people killed, and even school shootings, those tended to get national and even international attention. The more coverage it gets, the more likely it's going to be contagious. So it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just obvious. And they go through the example of suicides, which has always been true. The suicide contagion, when there's a high-profile suicide, it tends to lead to more people killing themselves. For example, after Robin Williams died, there was a 10% increase in suicides for a blip.
Wow.
If you've ever been around a school, unfortunately, where this happens, if a high-profile kid kills himself in high school, you're probably going to have a couple more. It's just the way it works. If a kid killed himself and nobody knew it, obviously you wouldn't get the, I hate the term copycat because it kind of sounds weird, but
yeah, I know where you're going.
You won't get the contagion, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't know, if you didn't know about these school shootings, it's unlikely that somebody else hears it, and for whatever reason in their, at that time, sick, damaged mind, they think, I'm going to do that too. There's a window when a shooting is most likely to lead to more incidents, they said, based on the research, about 2 weeks. So this shooting absolutely could have been triggered by the one in Buffalo, based on the research that they've done. And there could be more in the next couple of weeks. And again, as Joe was just talking about it, so ranking these as if there's like a prize at the end is probably not doing us any good.
Well, and again, they should be covered in a way. It needs to be incredibly restrained and responsible, in our opinions. And we've talked about this for a long time. This was our giant cause for a while. What's happening is, and it's true of school shooters or, again, dead-enders who decide to shoot up their former employer, the networks say to them, we will air your grievances. We will tell the world of your pain, but you've got to bring us blood. And the more blood, the better. The better. The more blood you bring us, the more dead bodies you bring us, the more coverage we will give it. Now, obviously, that's not what they would say in the newsrooms. That's not their intent. But in terms of the folks, the troubled folks watching it and tempted to be a copycat, they understand that that is the transaction. The de facto transaction is bodies equals megaphone. And that's just one of the aspects of this. This is not the only one. But we got to stop giving that megaphone.
And by the way, if you've got a picture on social media that makes you look kind of cool and mysterious, would you be happy to put that on TV all day long?
Right. Right. And we'll name the names of the people that hurt you. And if indeed this kid was bullied awfully, that is awful. But we've got to be careful.
If you miss an hour, get the podcast Armstrong and Getty on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
You know the bad thing about all this rain? It's not raining in San Francisco to clean up those dirty ass streets they got there.
Say it again,
they
John.
Need a clean, San Francisco, you know, it's a great city. But all that dirtiness and homelessness, y'all, man, y'all got to clean that off the streets.
There you go. Charles Barkley, how's that taste, San Francisco? If anybody's making their vacation plans for the summer, where should we go? We've never been to San Francisco. I hear great things because San Francisco is one of the greatest cities on earth. But it is grimy now. If you haven't been for a few years, it is grimy.
And don't be fecal matter.
That's right,
Johnny. And don't be gloating, Portland. I'm looking at you, Seattle and Sacramento and San Diego and L.A.
San Francisco's definitely got the lead, though. I mean, come on. It is. Oof.
Yeah, I think part of that's just geography because, you know, you're going from one popular touristy spot to another. Frequently, you pass through the Tenderloin or close to it and in a way that you can steer clear of Skid Row in L.A. or maybe just don't go to Venice Beach, which has been cleaned up a lot.
But that is the unique thing about San Francisco. You can stay in some of the nicest hotels with the most expensive stores in the entire city, and you're going to walk through human poo and step over bums to get there. That doesn't happen other places. At least their super fancy areas tend to be just that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely true. Has anybody considered, is that a promotion by the shoe merchants of Union Square, perhaps, to sell more shoes? You step in human poo, you think, not only do I not want to clean these, I want to throw them away right now. It's a ploy to sell more shoes. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud.
Warriors lost last night, by the way. 3-1 is the series.
All right. So, yeah, we will get back to the various aspects of the horrific, unspeakable school shooting in Uvalde, Texas eventually. But there's other stuff going on that would probably be a major topic of conversation. And because I don't know about y'all, but Jack and I, you can't shoulder this stuff constantly. It's just, it's too heavy. It's too horrible. Anyway, a quick personal note. Last night it occurred to me as I turned off the never ending wallowing in the horror. Wait a minute. That new Ricky Gervais special is out on the Netflix. So I dialed that up and watched like the first three quarters of that. Michael, did you watch it too?
I did. Yes. I
gesticulating
did watch
wildly.
Yeah, we were watching it at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. It is highly offensive to everyone. It is hilariously funny. It is full of wit and insight, including he goes off on a couple riffs that were just terrible. They were funny, but they were just offensive. And then he said, now wait, I made a joke about this, but that didn't happen. Nobody was hurt. My speech wasn't violent. Nobody's more likely to do what I was joking about because I said that. Let's be sane about this stuff. So it had insights about the nature of commentary and comedy and stuff like that.
We'll
too.
Play that for you later because that's the promo that they've put out. And it is really good explanation.
Good. And I recall it was about 24 to 48 hours ago. We were told that the thing America had to worry about most was Ricky Gervais, an Englishman, saying women don't have penises. Anyway, that doesn't seem like the biggest concern right now.
Right.
Turning toward the international scene, there are a bunch of headlines worthy of passing along to you, several of which have to do with Ukraine, and we'll be back on Ukraine in a second. But U.S. intelligence shows Russian naval blockade of Ukraine. More countries are talking about that. Blockade has got to stop. Whether something happens on that, who knows? Russia and China conducted their first joint military drill since the Ukraine invasion. How seriously to take that unholy marriage, I don't know, but we'll see. North Korea fired off a suspected ICBM after Biden left Asia. That's lovely. The Taliban, you remember they ordered female newscasters to throw on the beekeeper outfit and not show their pretty faces on TV anymore? Well, a bunch of male journalists have donned face coverings in protest and have joined with their female colleagues.
I saw in the town I live in yesterday a woman in the full beekeeper outfit walking with a male that seemed to be her husband or something down the street. I thought, wow, that is amazing.
That's the product of an extremist ideology that's dangerous, in my opinion.
That is anti-woman.
Stand by those words.
Yes. That is as anti-woman as anything can get, happening in a town where they're, you know, super all about protecting that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, to the point of insanity, yeah. You know, they talk about intersectionality always on the left, the various layers of oppressiveness, which grants you higher and higher status on the totem pole of victimhood. You know, there's a similar like expression of attitudes on the left of what they care about or pretend to care about. And the one trumping factor that we've talked about for years and we're among the few, the one just rocket sauce that trumps all other concerns is the left's xenophilia. If it is not American, so particularly not Christian and American, they love it. They protect it. They worship it. It cannot be criticized. How dare you criticize it because it's not America, including religions and practices around the globe that are horrific toward women, horrific toward gay people, horrific toward trans people. But they won't breathe a word because it's not American.
Oh, yeah. If you had in the town I live in, if you had pick a Christian group of some sort, and I don't know what would be the best example. Well, I don't want to name one, but you pick a Christian sect and it's a guy and with a woman that he makes dress a certain way. He tells her how to dress. She's mm-hmm. not allowed to drive or have a job or have any decision making. Oh, my God. They'd be run out of town for that sort of thing. But because it's Muslim and unique and foreign, it's accepted, I guess. People just, well, you know, it's a different culture.
Xenophilia. Speaking of Muslim lands, Iran vowed Monday to avenge the killing of a senior member of its top paramilitary force, the Revolutionary Guard, shot by unknown assailants in Tehran. He was shot by two motorcyclists outside his home. walked outside, vroom vroom, bluey bluey, and he's dead. Of course, the Iranians are accusing Israel and the U.S., which may be partly or entirely accurate, but that's interesting. Israel does not screw around, not that I have any personal knowledge as to their involvement.
Right.
A story we touched on very briefly the other day, I want to get into a little more thoroughly, that Russian diplomat who ripped into the war in Ukraine, the specifics of what he said, super powerful after a quick word from our beloved sponsor, Simply Safe Home Security.
Simply Safe is quite amazing. You go to their website and you customize the Simply Safe system for your home. Doesn't take very long. Comes to your home. You set it up in about 30 minutes yourself, and then you have 24/7 protection on practically anything you can imagine that could come your way. And people love it. It's less than a dollar a day. There are no long-term contracts you sign up for to where you're stuck with the system, even if you decide you don't like it. You will like it.
And it'll protect you from junkies breaking into your house or stealing your stuff or breaking into your garage. It'll protect you from your kids sneaking out at night. How about from fire? Absolutely. It has smoke sensors and the rest of it all tied into their central alarm system and their state-of-the-art, best-in-the-industry monitoring system. And it's so simple. No long-term contracts or hidden fees ever. Costs under a buck a day, which is amazing. Customize the perfect system for your home in just minutes at simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Go today, claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Ooh, check out the wireless outdoor camera too. It's so cool. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. So this Russian diplomat, he was at the UN office in Geneva, Switzerland. One day I decided I wanted to live in Geneva and I started looking at real estate prices. Holy crap! San Francisco thinks Geneva's expensive. Tokyo thinks Geneva's expensive.
Really?
Anyway. Oh, yeah, it's brutal, brutal. Partly because it's just unspeakably gorgeous and fun. Food, wine, music, culture. Anyway, a veteran U.S., not U.S., a veteran Russian diplomat at the U.N. office of Geneva handed in his resignation before sending out a scathing letter to his colleagues inveighing against the aggressive war unleashed by Russian President Vladimir Putin. He said, for 20 years of my diplomatic career, I've seen different turns of our foreign policy, but never have I been so ashamed of my country as on February 24th of this year, referencing the invasion. The aggressive war unleashed by Putin against Ukraine, and in fact against the entire Western world, is not only a crime against the Ukrainian people, but also perhaps the most serious crime against the people of Russia, with a bold letter Z crossing out all hopes and prospects for a prosperous and free society in our country. Referencing that widespread use of the letter Z as a symbol of support for the war. It is intolerable what my government is doing now. As a civil servant, I have to carry a share of responsibility for that, and I don't want to do that.
It's a brave thing to do for him and his family. He obviously can't ever go back to Russia, and anybody he's associated with is in danger. It's a brave thing to speak up like that.
Yep. He said those, and this is the part that is getting some play in Russia. You got to be careful about sharing it online, but he said those who conceived the war want only one thing, to remain in power forever, live in pompous, tasteless palaces, sail on yachts comparable in tonnage and cost to the entire Russian Navy, enjoying unlimited power and complete impunity. He railed against the growing lies and unprofessionalism of the foreign ministry under Sergei Lavrov, etc. It's great. That stuff about the pompous, tasteless palaces and yachts that rival the entire Russian Navy in tonnage, that was good stuff, because that's exactly what's going on. Let's hope it gets some play. Who knows?
We got a few more details on the story of the last 24 hours, and I'm not sure how important they are. They're kind of interesting, but the overarching question I think everybody's dealing with. Is there anything we can do to keep this from happening again anywhere? I think if there were some simple solutions, we'd be on them, although plenty of you think there are simple solutions.
There aren't. There aren't. There are some that are relatively simple. There are, to me, probably something like 5 or 6 layers of this, and every single one has to be addressed separately, and then a unified approach taken to identify threats, to help people who are on the road toward violence, to protect the kids at the school level, for law enforcement to be involved more effectively? Is it the red flag warnings, if you want to call them that, or whatever, that square with the Constitution and are carefully, carefully crafted? It's got to be all of it, or we're wasting our time.
There's certainly no legislation you can pass that changes a culture, and there's something sick and diseased about our culture. There's no doubt about that.
That.
Our text line, 415-295-KFTC.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy 2 assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick.
Yeah, man, there's a lot there. You could do several hours of complicated discussion around just those phrases from the president yesterday. And again, I'm giving everybody a pass. I think everybody should give everybody a pass in the first couple hours, 24 hours certainly, of this happening, and quit assigning the worst motives to them. Looking for the opportunity to take your guns, or being paid off by the NRA to allow you to keep your guns. How about the fact that probably everybody you encounter in real life and in social media, at least yesterday, was just horrified that a bunch of fourth graders got murdered and would like to be able to stop it? I think
the useless governor of California, virtually the first thing he said was lambasting the GOP for its intransigence, blah, blah, blah.
There's a fair amount of that. And, it's just, nobody wants this to ever happen again. The problem with some of this stuff from the angle of what the president said yesterday, common sense gun reform, that does poll very well. But as we've talked a lot about, issue polling is complicated in that if you have kind of a broad statement, you can have broad approval, but legislation has to get into the particulars. You can't pass something called common sense gun control. It's got to be very specific. And it gets to assault weapons. Okay, well, what's an assault weapon? Who's going to define what an assault weapon is? I have guns to assault people. That's the reason I own guns. I don't know why more people don't say this out loud. I guess they feel like it hurts their case as a gun owner. And like I said earlier, I think making this argument all the time about hunting does more harm than good. You need to be able to defend it from a why most people are buying guns standpoint.
Sure, self-protection. Self-protection. Self-defense.
I'm buying a gun to shoot a human being if I ever have to. That's why I own the gun. And the better the gun is at shooting a human being, the more protected I feel. So that's why people are buying guns, and let's not pretend that they're not. Because, again, it waters down the argument. And have the flat-out, head-on, should people be able to own guns designed to kill people to protect themselves? Second Amendment says yes. Current Supreme Court rulings say yes. If you want to take that on, you know, vote the way you want to vote. But getting back to the whole common sense gun law, you get broad approval for common sense gun law. Okay, assault weapons. Define an assault weapon. Why do I, as a law-abiding citizen, not to get the chance to own that particular gun, which is pretty good at defending my house if I ever end up in that situation? You have to explain why I can't, given the fact that we have in a Second Amendment, own that gun. And then red flag laws, even. I think most of us are in favor of mentally ill people, dangerously mentally ill people, not having guns. In fact, I think all of us are in favor of that. But drawing the line of what counts as mentally ill, how far you have to go down the road of being an angry person that people look at sideways before you get the right to own a gun taken away from you, that's complicated, man. That is complicated.
Yeah, and fraught with mistakes and difficulty, and you're dealing with a constitutional right. It's not easy. That doesn't mean you shouldn't deal with it.
No, I'm all for trying to deal with it, but to act like you could easily throw together some legislation and have the votes to pass it and get it signed into law, it just ain't the fact.
No, it's not, and I am not in any way trying to do an either-or here. Because the school shootings are horrific, and we need to pour all of our energy and intellect into trying to figure out why angry young people want to kill others. I have a pretty good idea, and we've talked about it, but how can we figure out who's on that road? What can we do about it? How do we make schools more able to deal with threats when they have? There are half a dozen questions at least. We need to deal with all of them. On the other hand, the number of young people, most particularly young black people, who die from gunfire each year dwarfs the number that are killed in school shootings. And again, this is not an either or. I'd like to prevent heart disease and cancer. Thank you very much. All of the gun control laws they're talking about will do nothing about that sort of violence. That violence will continue to happen. And in terms of the sheer number of human lives, it's much larger. So anybody who shouts, the GOP is the problem, or says, when are we going to do something? Yeah, we would like to do something, my emotional friends. The what is the question. The how is the question.
I'm not afraid to bring up questions that, I don't believe in the idea that if you bring up a question and have a conversation about it, it all of a sudden turns into a law. So I'm willing to address this, for instance. Do you think if there were not guns that you could shoot as rapidly, that there would be less of these mass shootings because people would feel like they couldn't get the number that they need to get to get all the attention that they're going to get?
I think it's a factor. How big a factor, I couldn't tell you.
Like if that kid, he's 18 years old, and it's important to the conversation, so I should stop saying that. That adult who killed all those little kids yesterday, God, it's just horrible. If he'd have thought I probably am only going to be able to kill four or five. As awful as that sounds, would he have been less likely to do it?
Boy, that's a really interesting question. You'd almost have to ask the murderers who have survived.
I wonder.
To help understand their mindset.
I wonder. Do you have any thought on that? Text line 415-295-KFTC. You can get the podcast anytime you want. Armstrongandgetty.com. Our website has it, or you can just look for Armstrong and Getty On Demand. Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.